Let's call this meeting of the Shoreacre City Council on April 12th to order at 7:02 PM. First order of business is roll call.
Robert Plant, present.
Dolly Aaron's present.
Jerry Victor, present.
Jerry Washington, present. The first one, I ask everybody to silence your cell phones. I think I better be first. So we don't get interrupted. And since we do not have our flags downstairs, we're going to forego on the Pledge of Allegiance and move right into our presentation. And
What we're honoring today is Lionel Bissell. We have guests here from Lionel Bissell, and I'd like to read a proclamation. Whereas Lionel Bissell Industries challenges its employees at each of its worldwide locations to participate in community service above and beyond their ongoing community involvement activities on a single day each year. And whereas that day is known as Global Care Day. And whereas Lionel Bissell employees strive to complete a task to make the community a better place to live and work. And whereas Global Care Day participants include employees, family members, and contractors from Lionel Bissell. And whereas Lionel Bissell has repeatedly demonstrated to the residents of Shoreacre. And whereas in 2006, Lionel Bissell volunteers planted trees in Circle Park. Miserable day that day. And raining. Whereas in 2008, Lionel Bissell volunteers planted trees in City Hall Garden, planted plants in City Hall Garden, and installed an irrigation system and built a fence. In 2009, Lionel Bissell volunteers replaced all the plants we lost in Hurricane Ike in Shoreacre City Hall Garden. And in 2010, Lionel Bissell volunteers are planning to replace the trees in Shoreacre Circle Park that we lost to Hurricane Ike. And in addition, whereas Lionel Bissell donated an emergency generator to the city of Shoreacre following Hurricane Ike. Now, therefore, I, J.O. Washington, Mayor of the City of Shoreacre, do in recognition and appreciation of their tremendous support hereby proclaim April 24, 2010 is Lionel Bissell Day.
Oh, we're so
Excellent. Thank you, Mike.
Mike of us is really proud and honored to receive this proclamation on behalf of all the volunteers. It's really been an honor working alongside many of you. Y'all all came out and worked beside us during these projects. So thank you so much. It's been a great partnership. It isn't over yet.
Thank you.
I'll give David your email address and send you his picture.
All right, thank you.
I'm sure you have Kate.
No, maybe not.
Okay, 3.2, citizens' comments. Citizens may address City Council for up to 5 minutes. First, start with your name and address, please. Anita.
Anita Willis, 10094th Avenue. I have two things I would like to bring up. One is that on April the 6th, our CAC meeting at the DuPont Recreation Center, we had a presentation at the beginning of the meeting about the from a gentleman. His first name is Jacques, and I do not recall his last name. Air Products, and they had a release on the west on the north side of 225, and they had the Knox release, and I wasn't aware of this, and I'm sure there's some other people here that may not know this, but they actually had two separate releases. The first one was a heat exchanger that was getting too cool, and they couldn't control it. And so that released the steam and pressure. And then the second release, which was an hour of that, was the fact that it cooled so much that the pipeline, it actually blew out one of the joints that was in the piping, and that's when the knock got out. And so there was a delay in sending out on the care line to get the messages out to emergency management about the release. And a lot of people felt like they should have called a lot earlier. They actually, the one that impacted the neighborhood the most was the Knox release, and that was the second one. I think it was like 47 minutes later.
Before they got it on the care line?
Well, there was a lot of talk about how come it took so long to get a shelter in place. And when people start seeing like a lot of condensation that doesn't look like it's normal, they get really anxious. And so people were seeing that. And then And so that's when, and there was also other problems that came into play. Number one was air products from La Porte was getting calls. And apparently the number that belongs to the air products Pasadena plant over there, north of 225, nobody has phone numbers for them. And so in order for a visual to be seen, people were calling La Porte and they said, no, we didn't have a leak. And so it took a few minutes to figure out that it was on the north side of 225. So there was a lot of like problems, and they've been working on that. So that should not be an issue any longer.
Good.
The second item that I do want to bring up is kind of a question: what's going to happen with the old Bayshore Elementary School? It's not a short term. Where are we at on that? And what do we do about our area that property over there? If there's anything in the works about that?
No, all the communication I've gotten from the school district is it will be torn down in the month of April, and then after it's torn down, when they've, remediated the site and got it back to, gotten all the bad stuff, because they say there's
asbestos
in the building, so they've got to remediate all that asbestos out of there. So when they get it back to pristine condition, then they're going to start talking about what they're going to do with that property. At that point, I have asked them to be involved in that discussion, and they will include us in that discussion.
So when you say pristine, that means the building and fire, everything comes out?
Everything comes out.
Just like other nature?
Back to grade, yes.
Okay. And then kind of walk me like through the steps, because I've had several neighbors ask me, this is April, so we're looking at being not too far in the middle of April, so we
I have not been given a firm date on it. The last communication I had with them, it was going to be in April. So unless there are some delays with their insurance or some delays with the paperwork, it's been a couple of months since I've talked to anybody about it. But it was supposed to come down in April. And I haven't seen any activity that would lead me to believe it's coming down tomorrow. But really, may have got moved.
We've had an inquiry about a demolition permit, but one's not been issued. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. We would have to have a demolition permit first, too. Yes.
So
it's still a limbo. Yeah.
Okay. What section of that exactly, Shore Acres? I mean, the Bayshore Elementary School, the Shore Acres.
Yeah. It's kind of like one house deep. Yeah.
In the park area?
It's pretty much the new administration wing that added on this side. It has the purple tile. that portions of the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
That would be probably a pretty good defining place right there, the new administration place. Okay. Administration building, sorry.
Can I add something?
Sure.
The second item that we discussed at the CAC meeting, and I think the citizens need to be aware of this, but if you tell an owner, please call the landlord. The second presentation had at the CAC meeting was truck washing, and there are a lot of gray areas. I mean, a lot. And basically, if you smell something from truck washing, you know, even though you don't know it's truck washing, you know, be sure to be very clear about where you are and direction and so on. Because truck washing, and until there's a complaint filed, they're not really accountable for very much.
You're talking about the inside of the tanks?
And we're talking about the facilities that actually wash these trucks.
Yeah, the vacuuming and on the inside.
Yeah, this is the there's established firms that are checked yearly, and sometimes if they physically check them, they check them about this every 5 years. So it's a kind of a self-reporting thing. But then there's like little mom and pop truck washing facilities that are around, and if they don't get another complaint, then they don't, I mean, our state facilities, you know, don't operate on anything except complaints, basically. And there's a lot of gray areas that are in that truck washing procedure.
Never thought about that, but there's always all the leftover chemicals, residual chemicals in there, yeah.
Yeah, there are requirements. You're supposed to have certain vacuum houses, et cetera, but they don't inspect them as often. No, not nearly.
So please, if there's any odors that you smell, be sure to call the Carolina report.
All right, thank you, Nita. Darlene?
Darlene, I'm not going to complain. Because I know there's nothing we can do about the ditches yet. But I do want to make a comment about what was posted on the bulletin board. I have this thing about the negative, and I feel like that the person that he must demand a public hearing from the Fort City Council, and we don't get anywhere demanding something of the entity, especially the Fort. And I feel like we don't need to be like that, and I don't know, anyway, it's just me, but I feel like that we should kind of tread lightly. I know Mayfield is a very, very big issue, and it needs to be addressed. If you don't get anything addressed by too much.
I understand your point. Although a short acre resident would not hold a whole lot of water in a LaPorte City Council meeting, but there's a lot of LaPorte residents on that on the Yahoo board.
I just don't want the short acre residents thinking that they can just go in there and say, hey, you know, we want to cover here, and
because
we can't,
you know. No, really can't. Nancy.
Nancy Schnell, 6-8 Dean Bayless. To touch on the first point that Anita made about emergency numbers, and I've spoken with UJO about it and a couple of members of the council as well, as far as emergency contacts when there is a potentially volatile situation that would concern the public. A lot of us after the storm did not continue to carry a landline because there's work on cell phones, and that's something I talked to JO about. Put on the back of a water bill or some way for people to be able to change their landline to a cell phone contact number. And I know that sounds like a really big headache, but I really would rather, you know, be able to actually receive communication on that front rather than all of a sudden, oh my God, what's that? By the time you smell it, you're dead.
Yeah. If it was us, we would do that. But unfortunately, it is not us that controls that reverse 911 dial. That's a Harris County issue.
Okay. So then we need to go and start dealing with the county.
Yep.
That's not good.
And I never told you that story.
Uh-uh.
I apologize.
That's okay.
LaPorte has one of, but it's not the 911 reverse dial that we use.
They use a private service.
Yeah. And you can get on that, but that would not, if you were a Shore Acres resident, you would not get that call if we did a reverse 911 at Shore Acres. You'd get that call if you were a LaPorte resident, in LaPorte.
We wouldn't get it anyway, would we? If we're just, even Shore Acres, just the cell phone.
Right. That's right, because it's a landline-based reverse 911. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Greater Harris County 911 network is adding to their software to enable us to add blocks of cell phone numbers to the system. And they anticipate having that sometime this calendar year. But I don't think it will be before the fourth quarter, so you're looking at the end of the year at earliest before they'll have that. And that will allow us to block, load up large sets of numbers. Right now they can accommodate one or two numbers, and it's only designed for emergency management and elected officials. But for the public, they would have to be able to put a lot of numbers on. And so they're working on that now. But it's not there today. And I'm really concerned about us collecting any numbers and then building an expectation in someone that they've given us their cell phone number, therefore they should get an emergency call when there's a problem, when right now we don't have a mechanism to do anything with that.
Well, when the mandatory evacuation from Hurricane Ike came, I was getting reverse 911 calls. I think that's what it was, on my landline and myself.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, I mean, I, it was slowing me down because I was answering the phone and I was thinking it was, you know, a family or something, and it was reported mandatory evacuation. So, and then I get the, you know, on my cell phone. And then I thought I called them and said your system was working very well. So.
But it was LaPorte's reverse
911.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think if you give them your cell phone number,
that
they will.
LaPorte. That's right, LaPorte.
Now, we do share the same zip code as LaPorte, and I do get mail addressed to LaPorte, and just right here. That we have no
say-so
in their city council at all.
Is that correct?
That's
correct. Is that it, Nancy?
Yes, sir.
Josh? Okay. Council reports, 511, my report. We were concerned. God, this has been a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? We had a meeting with representatives from Pete Olson's office and FEMA concerning the temporary housing units that FEMA had in place here. And we were concerned about the usury rates of rental that they initially came up with and eventually came back and changed their minds on. So we came up, it was a pretty, I thought it was a very instructive meeting. There are actually some other options that are out there that we were ready to give to residents that might want other options available. And I thought it was a very good meeting. Lionel Bissell Global Care Day is coming up on April the 24th. They will be in Circle Park. We're talking about taking a bunch of tallow trees out because it turns out that the tallow trees are inhibiting the growth of the new trees we put in 2 years ago, and plus the Chinese tallow needs to go whenever we can anyway, and so we're going to try and combine the tallow trees going out and the cleanup green up day opportunity that we have coming up too. So City Public Works is going to take care of that, and then we'll hopefully, but And then on April 24th, Lyndell Facel come. They've already bought at least 20 oak trees, 15-gallon oak trees. The Shoreacre Civic Association is going to buy some mulch and some dirt, and probably a few more trees too. So we can put a bunch of trees back in there. There's a lot of dead wood in Circle Park. May 1st is the crawfish fundraiser. Hope everybody can come out to that. We're going to sell 3-pound plates, 3-pound foldovers of crawfish for $10. It's going to be good. March 27th was the Shoreacre's Easter egg hunt. The Civic Association put on the Easter egg hunt, and it was must have been 40 or 50 kids there. Richard Adams was there. Very good turnout. I thought it was turned out really, really well. We should have did it. Pictures are posted.
They're
posted. Pictures are posted. That's it for my report.
This question on the FEMA meeting. That, you're talking about the trailers and how much FEMA is charging for rent.
Yeah.
You're discussing that. Does it sound like it's going anywhere, or is that last rent figure going to stand?
The last rent figure, as far as you're concerned, is going to stand until we can get it changed. So what they said is that the homeowner or the FEMA trailer renter, I guess that's what they would call them, needs to pay that last amount of rent until we can get that changed. What we're looking for is a nonprofit to donate, FEMA to donate the housing unit to a nonprofit, and the nonprofit then take the rent away, and when you're finished with it, move it and take it and sell it and make money off that deal. And then you would be rebated back the rent you paid that we got that taken care of.
All right, I'm in the FEMA trail.
Sure.
I noticed they stopped doing the maintenance on. They used to come like monthly on a regular basis, and maybe that's a separate issue. But,
that's interesting.
And I haven't pursued it. The guy who comes around the first or second every month. And the rental fee come out with a coupon sheet and said, you know, it's due on the 1st of April, and I got the notice on the 2nd of April. So. But there is a fine schedule if you're late in your payments and so forth. Okay, thank you.
I gave the 6 addresses of the affected residents to Pete Olson's office and also forward them the authorization letters, which enable them to follow up on personally. I need to call her and see if anything's happening.
So I'm guessing if Jerry doesn't know anything, she hasn't contacted Jerry.
Okay.
Or the other five.
And we're down to 5.
Another month or before, I know that.
All right, Dolly?
The LaPorte Parade, is that on April 24th?
That's correct.
Okay, so Richard and Dana and I are going to coordinate on that. I think the primary idea is to use Dana's convertible and then use the truck as a backup if we have enough people to fill. So, you're going to get me banner?
Posters, yeah.
Posters, banners. Am I missing anything? All right.
Dana is pulling.
Okay, so we'll see.
Candy that we're not supposed to throw.
Yeah. Dana already contacted me again. Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be one.
Okay, Richard.
I attended the March 25th Bayport meeting at Bayshore Baptist. I just quickly go over, there's a whole lot that was said, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but Darren Rice was the main attorney who spoke. He kept saying that you can really only sue for money, question came up about the $40,000. Is it taxable? The answer was maybe. It can be capital gains depending on the tax situation, depending on how long you had your house. Another question was, if the original Army Corps of Engineers permit limits of noise, et cetera, can we sue to stop expansion? The answer was that you can only sue for money. A political solution based on permits might be possible, but that is taken up with the legislature, et cetera. So, and it really wasn't a forum for speaking and having ideas hashed out. It was really that lawyer, who sounded like a bad Jack Nicholson, telling us that it's all about money.
You guys.
And so the meeting last week was much better, but I'm not reporting on that because I'm not sure about the ending, so I didn't put it on the agenda. And Darlene, I will say that I'm one of the moderators of the group in JO, and I try my best to be discerning, but what I like to see, one, is timely postings, because some of the things are timely, dated. And I like to see point counterpoint. So if someone puts go to City Hall and yell and complain, and hoping someone else
does.
Somebody else comes along and says, that's a bad idea. And I think the majority will realize the bad posts are not worth pursuing. And some of them I'll truly email J.O. and say, your turn. you look at these, and I'm not so sure about posting. But it's tough because people are saying, you didn't post mine, or why didn't you post mine?
Yeah.
I get paid a whole lot for doing the moderating, but not that. So, but I'll be careful.
To the bank.
Yeah. My next performance review is moderating.
Thank you. Since we're talking about Bayport, I just want to, has anybody received any information that the red zone, the mitigation zone, has been expanded to other houses outside the initial red zone?
I'm working on it.
Well, I know one thing.
Right down the middle of my street, so the people across the street can hear it, but I can't.
I know one family.
I'm not done yet.
Yeah, I know one family received a certified letter from the port. They live on Seagrove, saying here's our offer, $40,000, blah blah blah.
Uh-huh.
On
Seagrove?
I think they made a mistake. I think they got one house.
Whoa. No, I
take the money and run.
Was it on Seagrove or was it Shore Acres? There's only one.
It's on Seagrove.
Seagrove?
I've got the letter, by the way, but I'm not going to give the people on file because I told them it should have. Well, I recommended it. I should have talked to the attorney, but not accepted. But I just wonder if it was extended beyond
that.
That might have been a mistake.
I know. Yeah, well, how does he know until they come and say, okay, how much is it going to cost you to shut up?
$200,000. All right, thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you. David. All right. We continue to make progress here with the restoration of City Hall. We just barely got the countertop laminate put on here this afternoon. In time for the meeting. It is not finished, but it is here. We're scheduled for carpet tomorrow, and on Thursday, the windows that have been long back ordered will arrive, so the window here and the window in the other meeting room will both be replaced. In the meeting room, it'll be a fixed window. This one will be a commercial slide window because it proved to be quite helpful during our pod operation here. So there are some other items that are going to all be bunched together on Thursday. The cabinet doors, they'll do the cabinet doors on Thursday. The plumbing, the coffee bar plumbing is now that they've got the laminate on, they're ready to put the sink and the plumbing in. We have last week, Center Point installed the gas meter. We had to change out all the gas in the gas meter. It's a higher pressure meter system. It's a 5-pound meter system, and then they regulate at the generator, and it's separate regulators for the building versus the generator. But we got all that done, and you might notice that the meter, like everything else now, is all raised significantly. We've gone a minimum of 2 feet above a base flood elevation with all of the equipment inside and out. So they've completed all the wiring for the generator and the transfer gear. but since the gas was only put in last Thursday, they've not run the generator yet. We expect that to happen this week as well, with some other electrical fixes that are pending. Miramar Park, today the city engineer released that project, that we have enough grass established now. The contractor can remove the silt fencing. So they'll remove the silt fence. There's some additional cleanup work that they have to do along that fence line with some loose concrete pieces. Also, when they picked up the heavy equipment, their trailers put some pretty good ruts in the park, and they'll be coming back and filling those and finishing that as well. We are sitting on half of the last payment on the project that was pending, the grass being established, and we also have the retainage. So we'll be holding those until the silt fencing is removed and the park is finished. Circle Park, we were able to get in last week and finally get to the interior portion of the park with the poles reset. You may recall that work was originally on our approved list for the CDBG block grants, and in the last revision, it was one of three projects that was cut for funding and declared to be ineligible. So we've backed up. We have some FEMA PA money on that. So we're using those funds to purchase the new fixtures, the replacement fixtures, and in-house we've done the pole straightening. And now we'll queue up Pfeiffer Electric to mount those and to repair the electrical. And we'll be able to come in pretty close to what we have in the FEMA money without CDBG money. The Highway 146 construction, you see that they're getting pretty close to starting to form up and pour the feeder roads there. You may have noticed a concrete structure that was built on the west side of 146, just north of our city limits. It looks like a concrete building, if you will. It's about 4 or 5 feet tall, and then they've added some superstructure and piping to that. If you notice that, what it is it's a washout station. They're going to be cranking up the concrete plant that they have that's been there. They're going to produce all the concrete for the project, for the road project there on site, and then the trucks will wash out at that washout station. So while it is built like a Sherman tank, it is a 30-month structure that will be demolished at the end of construction. But it will allow them to meet all the requirements for the washout. I've also learned that they drilled their own water well, so that TxDOT for the, well, not TxDOT, but the Williams Brothers for construction water for the production of the concrete, that they've got their own well. And
dang, that would have been a whole tidy little piece of income.
Well, you get to get a piece of that.
Oh, really?
I don't see what the economics has been, but since they've been working out there all this time, it's been operated by generator. So they're now putting in commercial electrical service. They put that in last week. And they're getting their electricity from wastewater plant number one, or lift station number one. It won't be on our meter. They've set another meter on our property. We assigned an address of 1159 and a half, so it piggybacks on ours. It's three phase like our plant is, and so they're getting their power there from Center Point. And then they're trenching and putting in underground utilities to both the washout and to the concrete. And so we will get the benefit of the extra commercial electrical franchise and taxes associated with that. And of course, it was permitted through the city since we're at the point of service. So that every little bit helps.
Sure.
I guess they don't use enough water to be under some kind of restriction like we are.
Yes, they are, but they also are in a state right-of-way, and they kind of get King's X. Matter of fact, intimately involved 4 years ago during the interim when the Senate Natural Resources Committee was looking at that and concluded that the state of Texas is exempt from groundwater conservation district regulations on state property. and so they can pretty much do what they want to do, but the amount of water that they're taking is not going to be significant in the long term. And so that's what's happening there. Harris County Flood Control District still hasn't started the work to replace the culvert through Shore Acre Circle across the hotel site property. And I don't have a schedule for when that construction will begin. And that's separate and apart from the Precinct 2 culvert work that's been happening on Shore Acres Boulevard. Those are two different projects. Cleanup Greenup, as you know, last meeting we scheduled that. I've negotiated with the contractor that did that year before last, having sat out last year because of ice, for the same rate. So we won't go out for additional quotes. Because that year they were significantly lower, and they're keeping the 2008 pricing. It's a day rate, $1,200 a day for curbside chipping, and they really hustled it up last time, so they know what they're in for. Water plant number two, as you know, is our only working water plant. We did have our number two booster there. The boosters are staged in sizes, so it's not the largest booster, but a booster there where the pump itself failed. We looked at the repair cost of that pump, and it was more benefit of just replacing that pump altogether. So we have a new pump that was installed last week as well, on Thursday, well, Friday, on Friday. The audit is progressing. We expected that to be completed last week. It didn't get completed last week, so that they lost their chief auditor to a freak accident. Didn't know about that.
No.
It would be humorous if it weren't humorous. You know, they have been working 14-hour days to meet our deadline, and at about 11:30 one evening, in their offices, the lead of the audit team yawned and dislocated her jaw seriously to the point that it required a hospital visit and has not returned to work.
Oh, yawned.
Yes. I know audits are yawn, so our audit is a serious yawn. it's hard to believe, but that's what happened. But so that's what's behind. We all thought we saw the light at the end of the tunnel when this weekend there was another series of emails, and we have yet another item to close the gap on, providing some additional documentation. And as you are aware, as we have changed to what I feel is a superior auditing firm, with that comes a lot of doing things that should have been done before. And our last big hitch was nailing down all the purchase prices of real estate that the city owns back to day one, which was a big task, and we cleared that hurdle. And now we discovered that they don't have all of the pipe in ground asset numbers from Bayshore Utility District. So I have another list, but we'll get that knocked out. But we're very close. And on May 8th, as you know, we've canceled our election. The school district has not. They'll have the election here in this room. And I visited with them as recently as today. I actually was kind of lobbying that they consolidate early voting and not have early voting here. But we're too far down the road, so early voting will be here. I have asked them if they will supply a full time paid person to do early voting, and then we'll use city staff to back that person up with the second clerk, so that we don't tie somebody up for an election that we're not participating in. They would pay us for that, but our staffing situation is that you just can't pay me enough to have two people sit down here all day for a week and a half. So that looks like that's going to happen. If you're aware of anyone that has served or judged previously in a municipal election, would like to have someone that's already familiar with that process, if possible. But that's where we're headed with that. And check and make sure I didn't miss anything. I don't believe so. Yeah, I do too. On City Hall, and the other things we've done here is we've done some work upstairs on the plumbing. You may have noticed if you've used the facilities. And we also have tied in the downspouts on the front of the building that go to the culvert in the front so that we can remove water from the building. And we have a mountain of sand topsoil mix that's been delivered around the corner. You'll see when you leave. And we'll start filling in around the parking lot and bringing the front to grade and finishing that off. The only thing that goes unaddressed as far as the parking now and the drainage is the contractor is going to restripe the parking lot. We're pulling the trigger on it being substandard paint. And the problem is they put the paint on before the concrete was cured enough, and they used a curing agent because of our time schedule here. And so one worked against the other, and so they're going to repaint the parking lot. And then we have the area right out here in this little island by the drop box that we'll be putting landscaping in and the river rock. And that's not been scheduled.
The River Brad said he'd donate the plant for that.
Yes, an evergreen.
So
the curb itself is going to be stained. We're going to do that. The stain we're using, I've had great success with and have had a lifespan in park use of more than 10 years, but it requires the concrete to be 180 days old before you apply it. And for the lifespan that I get out of the material, as opposed to painting or doing something else, I'm willing to wait. We're only about a month or two away from that, and then we can do that stain.
Okay. Does that mean that toilet actually functions?
This one here?
Yes.
It is. They're not completely through in there, but that toilet is functional.
I just don't know me. I'm still okay right now, but since I can't use my emergency instrument for upstairs, I just wanted to make sure.
In case of emergency.
In case of
emergency. Police department report. Do we have a police department report?
Yes.
I didn't bring any of my attachments.
I do miss comparing month to month.
Well, let's make a note. Would you forward that note on to Chief for us?
Yeah, I got that from him today. We'll do that.
All right. Any other comments on the police report? 6.1, skip.
We're going to hold that one for a minute.
All right.
We'll come back to it.
Oh, we will. 6.2, review. Do you want to move around here?
I'd like to move on down to 6.3, okay. And then we can go down the agenda and then come back to invoices after we get through the end.
Well, what about this? Review, reconsider, withdraw.
They're not here, so we can do that in a minute.
We'll skip that. Okay. All right. Discussion of Texas Community Development Block Grant, project application, projects, and status.
Okay, this is the 7,304th time it's been on our agenda. And we have some motion to discuss tonight. I've been copying you on the correspondence and the information that I've received from Senator Jackson's office as they were involved in the process, and then from Harris County. That tomorrow on the agenda for Commissioner's Court will be an authorization for David Turkell to renegotiate our memorandum of understanding and interlocal agreement with Harris County to withdraw from them administering the community development block grants. That is a little bit of a mixed bag. Mostly it's good news because one of the biggest issues we had was not being in the driver's seat. And actually, they didn't even want us in the back seat. We were going to stand on the curb while they drove our projects. So now we have the ability to make sure that the projects are done in a way that are compatible with our facilities and our operation. That's the good news. We now will tomorrow wait on that action and then for David Turkell to write the letter and send it to us. In conversations today, I've learned that TDRA is not going to wait for Mr. Turkell to send us a letter. They're going to act based on the commissioner's court action and start their process to send reissue the award letter that previously went to Harris County for our for our projects.
That seems pretty expeditious.
They are motivated, and I think perhaps the senator's office has some small role to play in that, of them being willing to move promptly. I have had conversations with Harris County about the status of the environmental, which is really the only portion, sensitively, that they have done for us to this point, even though they don't physically do it. All of that will transfer. They've done the publishings. The publishings will count. PDRA is on board with using everything that's usable to move ahead. That's four out of our five projects. Our number five project, the police station, as you know, it's been so long, we've decided to change horses, and so that one's going to restart anyway. And so there's been nothing done on that, and that will begin anew once we get our arrangement with TDRA. All that said, still no money has flowed, but we're getting much closer, and now when the money does flow, it'll be in a way that's much more responsive to our specific needs. And that said, I understand the process and have making some recommendations for your consideration to fill some of the slots or to at least queue up on the starting line so that when we get the award letter that we can pull the trigger on the documentation to do the determination of our grant administrator and our engineer for these projects. I have visited with a number of my peers, and I have reviewed who has those agreements with surrounding communities, and have reached a conclusion to make some recommendations to you. And I will also say on the agenda tonight is the environmental services provider. However, in clarifying today, that determination, that selection will actually be made by PDRA, so we don't need to do that. We'll be skipping that on the agenda. So that said, I think we're ready to move to the next item.
We, in turn, will contract with PDs and others to...
Well, no, not that simple. You know, it's federal money that went to the state,
right.
Originally to ORCA and now to TDRA, and in the process, there was what's called a direct allocation, so we know exactly how much money we're going to get, which came through the region, HGAC, 11 counties, then it came to Harris County, excluding Houston, and we were in that bucket, and then it was split between those jurisdictions within the unincorporated Harris County and those cities. That was determining the dollars. In performing the project, Harris County wanted to bundle together all the cities outside of Houston, and then it turned out excluding the Baytown and Pasadena, it was the entitlement cities versus non-entitlement cities. We're already doing a HUD program. To bundle that all together, we were of the understanding that since we didn't meet the LMI, the low and moderate income standards, and there's a 60-40 split on what the money goes for, that we could use the county's numbers if we went with the county and it would all be safe. So that's the direction we went. And Harris County would then have a contract between Harris County and TDRA. Then Harris County would designate the engineers and the project management for the grant administrators, and they would play that role. They also would still be contracting, though, for those things and would see the projects done. Now what's happening is the money's going to come direct from TDRA, and we're going to designate the project administrator, the grant administrator rather, and the engineering firm to do that, and they will interact with us through TDRA. Our direct allocation of $5.107 million is project money, and there is administrative money on top of that, and there is some question yet, and there will be a meeting next week between the cities in this group and TDRA to talk about so those kinds of issues as to how that money splits versus what they had theoretically already given to Harris County, what Harris County didn't think they were going to get and wanted to get, and what we're going to have to work with above and beyond the 5.107. So we don't know exactly how that shakes out. Our goal, of course, is to have none of the administrative overhead expenses erode any of the project money. That said, there's also round two. and we've got another direct allocation, $500,000 in round two, but we have not designated what our eligible projects are. So as I see it, that money first will make us whole on round one, and then we'll tier in on our projects. We know we're going to have overruns in three out of our five. I say overruns, and the two are design build, and we're just going to go until we run out of money, not have overrun. And the third one will have an overrun, and that's the police station, because we're taking the rehabilitation money and doing new construction, which is, frankly, per square foot, probably cheaper to do the new construction than the rehabilitation. That does not include any of the site work, such as site prep and the parking lot. And, you know, we've got on pace now of doing projects in a way that we get real value long-term, so doing concrete parking lots and et cetera to those standards. And so we've already discussed that we'll probably have to chip in on that. Well, with the second round, $500,000, we'll look to that to close that gap on those projects. So at this point, it doesn't look like we're going to take it on the chin. But we'll know better next week after we have our meeting. TDRA is pushing hard to have that meeting next week. They're going to do it. They've opened a new office in Lamar. The outlet mall is that down there on the right hand side as you head towards Galveston, and so that's where the meeting was planned to be held. And then following that, those scheduled meetings will be just between the city of Shore Acres and TDRA, and naturally we'll have our grant administrator and our engineering representative there as well, so that we can then work out any slight modifications or changes or adjustments that might be necessary, which there likely will be.
So TRA only office is in Lamar?
Well, they're in Austin, but they're opening an office in Lamar to have something in this area.
In Galveston County, although it's going to cover the whole
this whole section.
And you mentioned the environmental portion is going to be handled directly through TDRA, I think.
Yeah, actually, my understanding is that they will designate who that environmental service provider will be, and then pay them directly. We're pretty much out of the loop, and it's not bad because you're doing an we're not doing a full EIS on these projects. It's an EA, and it's really just jumping over hurdles for federal requirements.
And they can also build on what's already been accomplished by Harris County.
Well, Harris County is using the same designated, they're using a designated provider that TDRA selected for them. It should just be a handoff.
Okay.
The publishing has been done. So those boxes have been checked off. I hope not to lose any ground on that at all. Of course, on the police station, we're changing physical locations, and when you change sites, then that's a full reset. We don't get any credit for anything that was done previously.
Boy, Jay, you sure must have lit a fire under somebody.
I don't know.
It worked.
I can't imagine it was me, but okay.
Can you mention the money earlier that one.
Well, the process will be an award letter, and then there'll be a contract between TDRA and the city, in essence, yes. But we'll be doing real work. We won't necessarily be turning dirt because we have to scope the projects and we have to define what's going to happen, and I'm not certain that we are 100% on preliminary that was done for the purpose of costing it and for the application. Harris County has never shared with us a copy of our own application for this money. All we have seen are the two schedules that go with each of these projects, which the reason we saw them is that they required us to have our engineer prepare them and put a seal on them, so they had these for TRA. Never were we in a track that we would use that engineer to manage these projects or to execute them. So, we're changing we're going to change risers here, and we just need to make sure everything gets put in alignment. Ready for the next one?
6.4, consideration of action to adopt a resolution 2010-28, designate a grant administrator for the Texas Community Development Block Grants awarded to the city of Shoreacre for Hurricane Ike disaster recovery by the Texas Department of Rural Affairs, authorizing the city administrator to execute such documents as may be necessary to make such designation on behalf of the city.
You've been circulated a copy of the resolution. It's just a one pager, and in here it designates the Riveron law firm at Friendswood to be our grant administrator. That is the grant administrator that I'm recommending, and of course the decision is ultimately yours, and I've provided you with some of the material, and there is a list. The process started with three in consideration based on reputation and doing work in the general region, and I'll be happy to share with you who the others were, but this is where I ended up.
Where was doing work with?
Currently they're doing work with Seabrook, they're doing work with Friendswood, with Leak City. They're based out of Friendswood, and I guess, yeah, and they have done work for a number of others, and I sent you the full list.
Yeah.
But right now, the administration cost that Riveron will be charging is you're going to try to seek that separate from the 5.1 million?
That's well, yeah. We're certainly not paying any of it. So this is there's not a budgetary impact here,
so I guess it's to our advantage to group this together with Seabrook and some of the other communities and use the one.
Well, there's no financial advantage.
There is no.
I don't really believe there's a cost advantage. All of the providers of the services that we're going to look for are. We're going to have a billing rate, and the billing rate isn't going to depend on whether they're working next door or not.
At least they're familiar with the process, I think.
But they are familiar with the process, and if there is a advantage of having them working in the area in that you don't become the kind of left field, out of sight, out of mind. Not that anyone that we would go to would treat us that way, but I think there is an advantage to having them working in the same environment.
Well, I was really impressed with the qualifications that I read today. That's good. Did you talk to any of the cities?
Oh, yes,
about
absolutely.
About them, they already have done?
Yes. And one of the things that's really advantageous for us and for me personally is that they do the bulk of their work online via the internet. So they have a reporting system. It's updated live, and the engineering firm will use to put information in, and we'll be able to track progress of things all the way from the application to audit. I mean, it's really soup to nuts. And since I do a fair share of my work by remote, it will allow me to stay in the loop with this particular grant administrator and not have to chase somebody down. And it will work for my odd hours and
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 2010-28, designating grant administrator.
Second.
Jerry seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you. 6.5, consideration action to adopt resolution 2010-29. Designated an engineering firm for the Texas Community Development Block Grants awarded to the City of Shoreacre for Hurricane Ike disaster recovered by the Texas Department of Rural Affairs. Authorizing the city administrator to execute documents as may be necessary to make such designation on behalf of the city.
All right, this is the second act of the same play. This is queuing up and putting on the starting line the engineering firm to assist with our projects and manage that. The firm that I'm recommending is contained in that resolution. is Todd Finley and Associates. I have representatives here from the engineering firm this evening. And went through the same process of looked at what engineering firms were working with the CDBG money. As you may or may not recall, TDRA America qualifies the engineers in advance, and so you can only select off of the qualified list as with grant administrators, but you can choose any of them off of there, and then you're back into that same cycle then with the TDRA. And I looked at those that were working in the area, working with other communities that had similar projects. Our projects are pretty run-of-the-mill streets, drainage, water, and sewer. And so look for someone that had the qualifications there. As it would happen, this firm is the city engineering firm for the city of Seabrook, also doing work with La Porte. So we're sandwiched in the middle. They ought to be able to find Short Acres without any problem. they have experience, and probably the key qualification item that I was looking for in the engineering, and perhaps I'm jaundiced from my experience, but almost anybody can do wastewater without any problem, and water is really straightforward. And streets are not far behind that. And the one area that you can get into trouble on is watershed and drainage. and so I was looking for someone that had experience in watershed management and the drainage issues more than just laying out a subdivision and doing some curb inlets. And I'm real pleased when I look at the qualifications of this firm. I'll let them address that as well if you'd like. We're talking about all five projects. The one thing that I've had bad luck with is having water and wastewater engineering firms. Never worked with this one, so I can't speak to that. But I've had not good luck with having them doing architectural projects, and they have a police station in there. And so we've had some telephone discussions about how that could be managed, and I'm comfortable with that. It's a very small project. It's not institutional. It's not really even commercial. It's more akin to residential construction for what we're looking for. It's a small project. But as we've seen with the remodeling work here, you know, I'd like to sidestep some of those issues where you have to open one closet to turn the light on in the closet that's next to it. You know, those things that are a little aggravating. So I think we'll be able to sidestep that. And with that, I guess I will introduce Dale Conger and let him introduce his associate and tell us a little bit about why I've made such a great recommendation.
You made an excellent choice. I appreciate y'all having us tonight. We'll try to keep this brief and talk about us tonight. This is Brad Matlock. We've been working down here a long time, or I have personally been working for Seabrook since the late 80s and before as well. We're also the city engineer of Fair Lake Shores. Brad's the debt. He works out of our office across the street from Central Ohio South Shore Farmer. So we're handy, as well as having capabilities at hand with this. We're a firm that does a lot of municipal engineering. We've worked for several cities in the area. We have offices in North Dallas, worked in a bunch of the small cities up there. We're used to dealing with that kind of project. I talked to David about your drainage issues. He's talking about your desire to get a sort of a program going and work. You ran out of this money, which means something to continue and work on that basically correct the problems all over the city. And we can hydrology. We're currently investigating something in the northern part of Seabrook where they have their last remaining open acreage, which needs to drain what's called Pine Gully, which is a little channel that runs off 146 North Redwood. Without doing something to help them, they would be looking at having to do stormwater retention there. Basically wastewater territory, and it's not that far into the bay, so further investigate what it would take to enhance the outfall so that we can not have to put detention on a new belt. And also one of Seabrook's CPP projects, which we've been feeling your pain for the last year and a half, as we've been handling all that bread. It sealed dozens of versions of that estimate that they have talked about in the Harris County cloud around it, working on that. But we will need to fill, work on the point. They're going to rebuild the point. Part of that requires the bulkhead to fill. Some years ago, we did Second Street for the treatment plant. Y'all remember what that looked like before that was worked on, but it was about 40 feet wide. It's Harris Point, with the culvert. Water on both sides, some grace on it, 5 or 6 feet. Bulkhead and curved street, so it looks a lot different than it did 15 or so years ago. The dirt that came from what's now Park, with the intersection of Toddville, Redwood, drainage ditch that's got the walking trail around it, and the bridge. That was our borrow pit from Second Street. It was also our weapon mitigation place for the building bay for Second Street. So we're thinking about vehicles that pull the same trick, do a drainage project, and pull it into town and use the dirt and pull in. So we're working on that to try to make all that kind of dirt. And that's the sort of things that we're not going to be able to do with the county and all the U.S. So we think we can easily handle what you're doing, Brad. Is we're already under contract with DERA. The way they're handling it, the actual design contracts are with the state. The work order, we work with you all, but we have to look to the state for our payments. Keep them apprised of what we're working on. We're already under that contract. They issue work authorizations. We're working with very much orders. These kind of projects. So we're familiar with what the state's doing. Now it's the counties, Torrey County, or yeah, their money, which we've been expecting. We've been doing some projects, pretty much yours, and we have bids.
Sounds good to me. I don't have any questions.
Anyway. I have one question. Do the roads fit in here? Engineering work for the road?
Yes.
Okay.
We do. That's what we're doing currently for is street reconstruction projects. We've done several versions of that now. Super then overlays and rebuildings. They have a couple of street rebuilding projects in there.
Just so that everybody understands, let me go real quickly over what is basket of projects. The two largest projects are streets and storm drainage, which really go hand in hand as you're doing those things. So we have streets and storm drainage. Then we have the water plant, number one, which is completely destroyed. So that involves two wells, two ground storage tanks, a 20,000-gallon pressure vessel, pumping station, chlorination, all being elevated, not the ground storage, but all the equipment being elevated. We lost all of the electrical distribution and control, so it's a complete new plant. And stationary generator. Previously, we had our own portable generator that powered that plant, and it was damaged in the hurricane as well. So that project is that whole plant. Plant number two is at virtually no damage, but in the grant we have applied to be able to integrate that plant with this one using SCADA so that we can control our system better and have better management of our system and to change the connections for portable power at that plant to match what we're going to do system-wide in water and sewer. In the sewer side, we have lift station number one, which is our largest, our downstream lift station. It's force main to Gulf Coast Waste Disposal. It is a complete replacement. It also was completely destroyed. And so it would be replaced and also with stationary power standby power there as well.
Temporary or permanent?
Permanent.
That's permanent. Okay.
That's permanent. And then lift station number two is the one we rehabbed the year before the storm, and it came out with no damage. But lift station number two will also then be retrofitted to use portable power with quick connect. It will be compatible across the system. And then lift station number three, which is our furthest upstream, smallest lift station, which was destroyed, would be completely replaced. And no standby power, but also a quick connect for Trader generator. And then tying all three of those lift stations together, integrated with the water, with a SCADA system, so that we can control how that's handled. One of the problems that we have is that the long distance from the second lift station, number two to number one, allows number two to overpump, so that we back up the line and then we overflow upstream manholes before the wastewater can get to the plant. And so we want to be able to manage that and not have that station do that anymore. So there's a lot of things that we'll integrate in with that. Then the police station is just a freestanding package that would go on the corner here across from City Hall that we most recently talked about. That's in the plan. So those are the projects, and we're ready to move.
I just as a general statement, we had several public hearings solicited citizens in the community. One is that it seemed like hands down 90% of the drainage. Talking about that, we go a long way. It's not purely just money, man.
There are a little bit of quality, that's certainly. You all help in this fine community. I think good thing you can go
throw around a little
bit, looking at your issues. You go by low land.
Yes.
The roadside ditches are almost at tide level.
So any improvement, because the water's not going away.
Well, they promised they could lower Galveston Bay by 3 feet, and I don't know if it's going to
I'll make a motion to adopt version number 2010-29. Designated engineering firm.
Second. Jerry seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you very much. 6.6, consideration and action to adopt resolution 2010-30, designating an environmental service provider for Texas Community Development block grants awarded to the city's shortage for Hurricane Ike disaster recovery by the Texas Department of Rural Affairs. Authorized the city administrator to execute documents as may be necessary to make such designation on behalf of the city.
That item's withdrawn.
Number 6.7, consideration and action to... Next time, you could say that about three sentences earlier.
My sinuses are killing me.
Consideration and action to adopt ordinance 2010-69, repealing provisions of the Schroeder City Code that establish school zone speed limits on designated streets.
Well, since they're going to demolish Bay Shore Elementary.
Yes, thank
you. I presume they're going to tear it down to grade because it was a grade school.
Who wants to hear another joke or make a mention? Which one?
I'm both adopt ordinance 2010-69. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you. Discussion of the city's appeal of the Railroad Commission's order to gas utility docket number 9791 Center Point Gas Cost and Service Administrator Adjustment Tariff.
Councilman Aarons asked this piece. You gentlemen are free to leave. I appreciate you.
I know it's exciting, but
we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Councilman Aarons asked for this to be put on the agenda so we could discuss the effect of having won our first round of challenging the Railroad Commission's ability to approve a COSA rate. That's a cost of a service adjustment. You may recall our challenge to that was twofold. The Railroad Commission has primary jurisdiction on gas rates in what's called the environs, which is the unincorporated portions of the state. And so they heard Center Point's argument about how they need this money and be able to make these adjustments automatic from here on out and jack up the
with no oversight.
Yeah, with no oversight, one time done. And the River Commission bought into that and approved that rate and then future increases. And then Center Point, which they have always done, then after they have got that passed with no one to battle the other side, then brings the city rates in, and which then their argument was that the cities don't have primary jurisdiction on that, that it's the Railroad Commission, and since they've already established what the right increase amount should be percentage-wise, it should just apply to the rates in the city, and the Railroad Commission went along with that, and we challenged it twofold, that the city has primary rate jurisdiction, and that we suspended the increase, and that they didn't prove up the COSA, and that we challenged even having a automatic increase in the future without them having to prove that their costs have gone up to that rate. We were overruled by the Railroad Commission, and they just approved the rates. We then sued, I say we collectively, with other communities in the in our Texas Coast Utility Coalition, and the judge agreed with us, and threw out the ability to do the COSA for the Railroad Commission to overrule us, that we had suspended the rates, and that the increase, therefore, was ineffective and invalid. Center Point will no doubt appeal that, and we'll be moving up to another level. But the effect of this is that the judge said that the rate should not have gone into effect. You may recall we did adopt a rate. We took the action that was required of the city as a primary jurisdiction. We suspended it for a period of time, and then we gave them an increase based on the evidence of what they had put in, but we didn't approve the COSA, the automatic increases.
Right.
So the judge said that we had acted properly, the Railroad Commission had acted improperly, and that the correct rate is the one the city set, not what the Railroad Commission set. And so then our ratepayers are due a refund for the 2 months of period between the two rates, the difference. I wouldn't plan on spending that money yet, are you? Because I think we'll have another round of challenges. And we were asked if we wanted to participate in a further appeal of the process if need be. And talking with the mayor was a yes, and you know, all of this is pretty much contingency based, and so there's really not any downside. As a regulatory entity, we've already won significantly in getting that ruling, because it says that we did have standing, we're still primary jurisdiction, and under Texas law, that means that the utility company that we regulate has to pay our legal expenses in that process. So it's kind of the more they challenge, the more they run the legal up, but they have to pay for that. So it's not a cash out of pocket. So there is a benefit. I'm positive that as we continue to win, there's a very much a long-term benefit to our residents who pay these utility fees, that they will have to continue to justify increases rather than have it be an automatic adjustment. And we'll continue to maintain our original jurisdiction. Does that answer your question?
Sure does.
All right.
Some point of adjournment at
8. No, we can't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go back to...
Yeah, and because our stairs are high commission, I didn't bring the book down, but I can go get the invoices. That's all I need to do is go get it. So
is there somewhere else to it?
And we do have the housing permit as well.
Well, let's do 6.2 then.
Yep. Okay.
Review of reconsideration withdrawal of extension timber and housing permit for 506 Forest, permit number 2.
This was an update, wasn't it?
Yes, this is the review.
Right.
found in my file that they were approved until June with a written update on March 22nd.
Correct.
Which actually you received?
I did not. I received nothing from them.
Yeah, I drove by. I think the house was almost done.
Yes.
My
recommendation would be that you place it on the agenda for the next meeting for revocation and give them a show cause to come and tell you why it shouldn't be revoked. Our permit has a 90-day out clause. So, in reality, if you were to, at the next meeting, revoke that, your revoke date would be 2 weeks after it will expire naturally. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but...
Do you have any idea how close we are to issuing your occupancy certificate or permit on that?
You know, I hate to even hazard a guess on that because some get to within a day and then it takes another 4 weeks because they... don't need all the
rules. Looks like the house is finished.
I have a problem with issuing a revoke date. I think this could be a simple misunderstanding that they thought they had until June 30th. I would prefer that we contact them if they missed your March 22nd report to us and then maybe we can reschedule it for 2 weeks.
That's maybe. What I said.
Oh, I thought when you said revoke, that meant...
No, that we put on the agenda, that we put on the agenda to revoke the permit and give them, and give, send them a letter and give them 2 weeks to come and bring the report that was due today. It's just how it's styled on the agenda. Otherwise, we just have a moving target of never moving forward. And we could put it back on the agenda the same way it is for review, but... that was tonight, and so the next setting shouldn't be for review. It should be to revoke it.
And Donnie, what we do today is going to set a precedent for the other five houses, too.
Yeah.
Well, not just five. We have.
Well, no, that's right. There's five HUDs. I mean, there's five FEMAs, but there's more temporary than
yeah,
that.
We have, I think, 19.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what's the wording going to read like? The letter that they get?
The letter was just telling them that we didn't get their report and they'll need to bring that
to
council on
March.
Yes, on April they'll need to bring it to us on April 26th. They will say the failure to do that, you know, the council could revoke their permit on that date.
Okay,
I know who's going to draft the letter, but I've been a recipient of a whole bunch of threat letters from FEMA, and I surely wouldn't want us to be threatening in a letter. Smooth it out. Whatever Forbes does the letter, do it in a courteous way. Because I know this guy's going through the same hassle I've gone through with FEMA. If that's okay.
I think we could accomplish that goal.
Yeah. I don't really want to make life a whole lot worse for people than everybody is, but like you said,
we need to set a precedent.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so we're going to take no action on 6.2.
I'd like to have a motion to notify of them and to put it on the agenda at the next meeting.
Well, that's reasonable. Yeah.
I have a motion to 6.2 to notify the applicants of the temporary housing permit on the property at 506 Forest. And we receive information from the tenant.
Would you want to mention in your motion that the letter should should pitch a notice of a revocation.
Oh, yeah, they're to us.
Right.
A possibility.
Failing to respond
to the applicant that respond is a subject to revocation of their permit.
Because if you don't, there's no reason to set any review dates.
Right.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. 6.1, consideration approval of invoices.
Do I take a brief recess while I go grab that?
All right.
By the way, David, what are the chances of getting the same judge to oversee anything to do with the fort?
I don't think so.
No, I do. I just didn't have a chance to go home.
Okay.
It all hit me when I left work today.
Lately, I've been carrying them with me. I don't have it tonight. I've gotten to the point of carrying
them. Older people, have a good evening.
Thank you.
Citizen Dial, have a good evening.
I will try. We missed your comments. You need to have some.
No. One of your emails or something said there were going to be some significant announcements at this meeting.
Well, actually, it was CBG announcement. That DDR, that Harry Kennedy, is a big announcement.
I think so. One question. I have been volunteered by Tracy to assist with the
food service.
Fish, right. To help with the corn and potatoes. I was told that you have the cooker, et cetera, et cetera. Am I going to be your assistant?
No, you're in charge of cooking the corn or potatoes.
No, sir. I did not sign up for that. I don't know anything about cooking them.
Corn or potatoes are nothing.
I am going to be with you. Oh, if there could be somebody who takes the responsibility for saying,
I will get the pot ready. I'll get the water ready. I'll get everything ready. And I'll say, all right, Howard, here's what we're going to do. Pour it in, the potatoes in first. When you pick up the pot, then you stick a knife in the potato and it's done. Then you put the corn in. In 5 minutes later, you're done with both of them.
And how much spice do you put in?
I'll take care of all the seeds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like I said, I'll be
there to help. Yeah.
But I don't know how to... I've never cooked that kind of stuff.
Oh, I see. Corn and potatoes. You just throw it in the water and boil.
And I was also told we're going to start serving at
11 o'clock.
11. So that means we start,
Okay. All right. Band first.
Yeah, right. And we're able to bring our own adult beverages, correct?
Correct.
To be anti-Bush.
They're all self-aware of here. He's a big Corona
fan. Is there any Corona Light advertising paraphernalia around? I will happily trade you. I bought through a town auction an inflatable airplane that says Corona. But I drink Corona Light.
You want some Corona Light stuff?
Yeah. Eventually, I'll be rebuilding my feed room. And that's where it's going to go.
We'll get you caught away.
What could we do with the inflatable Corona airplane? What I saw, it looks like, look, is that this long or so?
That's a little bit bad, yeah.
One of my contractors, one of my customers, so I kind of bid on the silent auction and bought it. So who brings Corona that I could donate it to that you know of?
Tracy's a big Corona fan.
Tracy is? Sure.
Okay.
Okay. And she can have her son blow it up or something. Yeah. Cool. I'll keep it. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God. You know, it's like $50 a letter. Just beer? Just says beer? Or what? Oh, Brandon. Oh, never mind. Yeah, they stole those.
She's got to change.
These are invoices for
children.
Yeah. This teacher thing. It's okay to pay these invoices, is that what you said?
Yes, and then we're withholding 10%.
Okay.
I'd
like to make a motion to accept invoices as written.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Adjournment's 8:32 p.m.